2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, you know, as I've been praying the last couple weeks, Father, I feel so overwhelmed with the urgency that we as your people need to pray. And Father, it is not of my ability to be able to convey such an urgent need. So I humbly ask, Lord God, that you would use your word and that each and every believer that's here, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would draw us closer to you, and Father, that we would gain a burden to boldly come before your throne of grace, that we would pray for a lost and dying world, that we'd pray for souls to be saved, that we'd pray for our church to grow, that we'd pray that the next generation would grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Father, we'd pray for a country that's gone so far from your will and from your word, that we'd pray for revival and forgiveness in this land. Lord, that we'd pray that we'd be faithful until that trumpet blows. Would you help us to be a people of prayer? We love you, and we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for creating us. Thank you, God, for saving us. And I do pray if someone here today does not know for sure that they're going to spend eternity in heaven, I pray that today they'd realize that without Christ, they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire, and that today they'd be saved. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm not sure about you, but I love the Bible. Let me say that again. You weren't ready for it. I love the Word of God. It is a delight to me to read. It's a delight for me to study. What a wonderful, absolutely beautiful, what a wonderful, perfect book this is, the very Word of God. And I'm sure this morning you didn't come to hear words from me. You came to hear the Word of God. And when you heard the Word of God, praise the Lord, you received it as it is in truth, the very words of God, and not the words of man. As a matter of fact, I have in the front of my Bible that I'm trying to transfer from this Bible to a new Bible. But I have in the front of this Bible one of my favorite sayings about this book. It says this: "The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, in this book, paradise is restored. Heaven is open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good the design, the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred content." That's the Bible. Are you glad that you have the Word of God? If I could put it a little simpler, I'll put it to you this way, we'll all understand it. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the Bible. But I would say to you that the problem in our churches that believe the Bible and preach the Bible, the problem is not that we don't have a Bible. The problem is that we don't preach the Bible. The problem is we don't live the Bible. The problem is that the Bible needs to be unlocked. The Bible, in order for the Bible to have free course, the Bible says there in 2 Thessalonians 3 that something needs to happen. If a preacher like the mighty Apostle Paul says, "I can preach the word, but it won't have free course unless this happens." If Peter realized that he could preach the word of God, unless something happened, there would come back of known effect. What has to happen? That the word of God has free course. Prayer. Prayer has to happen. God's people, my brethren, pray for us. Why? That the Word of God may have free course. And although many people in this room are men and women of the Bible, how many of us are men and women of prayer? Men and women of prayer. Listen, in the Bible, there's some amazing prayers in the Bible. As you go through in your mind and your heart's eye, as you go through the Bible, there are some tremendous prayers. I think of Abraham's servant prays for direction, for a spouse, for a servant's son, and God directs him. I think of Jacob praying to God, Lord, please bless me, and God hears that prayer and God blesses him. Even Samson in his prayer life prayed that the Lord would deliver him, and God gave him a well that gave him life. David prayed and the counsel of Ahithophel was turned null and void. Elijah prayed and the rains stopped for 3.5 years. Prayed and it started again. Daniel prayed and God allowed him to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nehemiah prayed and God granted him leave that he might go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Joshua prayed. I love the story of Joshua. Joshua prayed. The Bible says the sun stood still. You believe that story? Never, never. In the history of man, did God hear the words of a man and cause the earth to stop its rotation? Hezekiah prayed and God added to him 3 years. I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when it talks about Elisha praying that the sun, that the clouds hold back their rain, God makes it clear in James 5 that we're just like him. That Elisha's no better than we are. And God is just as good as he was back then. He's just as good right now. That God, according to Isaiah 40, God didn't lose any of his power. Don't you like little kids? Don't you like little children? They have endless energy. Do you ever wonder if I could bottle that, I could market it, and I could make $1 million? You remember the first time you went up a flight of stairs and you went, whoo! I know some of us are so old that even when we sit up, we grunt and groan. Ugh. Because part of the territory. Oh, I'm exerting energy. I have to fight gravity. And I'm not doing it any favors trying to fight gravity. But you know the Bible says in Isaiah 40 that even the youth grow weary. Even the youth faint. But God is never tired. That God is never weary. That God's energy and power never run out. And I would say that although God can stop the earth back then from rotating, stop the sky from sending its rain, we serve the same God. He is just as good, he is just as powerful as he was back then, he is right now. So the question is, why is it that we don't pray? If God will answer prayer, God will hear our prayers, God's powerful enough to answer any prayer we have, why is it that we as God's people do not pray? Why don't we pray? Now, I know what you're saying probably in your heart and in your mind. Well, Pastor, I pray. No, you don't. I pray. No, not really. See, you have the confidence to say that about me? Yes, I have the confidence to say that about you. I have the confidence to say that about myself. So, what do you mean? Well, if we study Scripture, first thing I want you to know about prayer is that saints don't pray. Saints don't pray. Brethren, pray for us. Saints don't pray. You say, well, what do you mean we don't pray? Well, let's cover some scripture. The Bible says that we are to pray all the time. We are to pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Is that your prayer life? Pray without ceasing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are you praying all the time? Do you pray all the time for all the saints? We're to pray all the time. We're to pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. We're to pray all the time. We're to pray everywhere. We're supposed to pray for everything. For everything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're to pray all the time. We're supposed to pray everywhere. And we're supposed to pray for everything. And I would imagine that there's probably not a man or woman in this room that prays that way. So why is it that saints don't pray? Why is that? Listen, I know, have you ever been, I don't have my phone on me. Do you ever see somebody at a restaurant or family at a restaurant and they went out to a nice restaurant to eat and they're all like this? They're all like this. I remember the first time my nephew came to my house. He came to Uncle Ken's farm. Right? It was funny because my niece, his sister for Christmas, she said, Uncle Ken, I got you a present, and I got it for you because you're a really big man. Well, go great, can't see what it is. Gave me the box. I got it for you because you're a really big man. And I'm thinking, what is it, food? Is it Slim Fast? What is it? It was a 40-pound dumbbell. She doesn't weigh 40 pounds. A little 40-pound dumbbell. So they came to Uncle Ken's farm, and as they came to the farm, they're sitting around the table. And my niece and nephew, normally when they're around the table, they don't have to ask to be excused. But at Uncle's house, they have to ask to be excused. You ask to be excused. Well, I really don't like this. At Uncle's house, you're going to eat it. It's Uncle's house. And at Uncle's house, they're used to playing on their iPads and their cell phones at the dinner table. I said, there's none of that at Uncle's house. No iPads, no, not at Uncle's house. And it's amazing to me that now when they come over, there's no iPads. Uncle, can I be excused? Right? Not no more, I don't like that. Praise the Lord for Uncle's house. Well, why don't we want that around the table? Well, because we want to talk. We want to fellowship with one another, with the family. But I'm afraid that so many people are distracted that they're not talking to each other. And I believe that you and I that are told to pray every time, everywhere, for everything, we don't talk to God because we're so distracted by everything. By our cell phones, our jobs, our 401ks, our retirement, our chores. We're so distracted that we don't talk to God. And I submit to you that saints don't do it. Prayer. Saints don't do it. That you and I do not pray like we should. In most churches, the prayer meeting, the midweek prayer meeting, is the most poorly attended service of the week. There are churches across the country that are shutting down their Wednesday night prayer services. Shutting them down. Why? Because people don't show up. Well, how dare they? How dare they shut that down? How dare we not show up? I'm not saying it's right to shut it down, but where are the people? I like what Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He said that it would be a sin for me not to pray. It would be a sin for me not to pray for you. And when we talk about the importance of prayer, saints don't do it. Number two, not only do saints don't do it, number two, Satan can't stand it. Saints don't do it, and Satan can't stand it. If you write notes, if you're taking notes right now, write this down. I thought about this the other day. Satan preys on prayerless saints. Satan preys on prayerless saints. I believe this, that when Satan's walking about seeking whom he may devour, he's looking for saints of God that have no prayer life, have no connection to their Creator. And it's amazing to me this, that we can come to a Bible-believing church and yet there's fall away and there's drop-off. There's families in this room right now and your marriage is struggling. There are families in this room, there's individuals in this room right now and your walk with God is waning, that your Bible is no longer being opened, that your Christianity is dead, it's flailing along, you're just kind of floating downstream. And the question that has to be asked this, are we praying? Our husband and wife saying, you know, we're having some struggles here. Can we just pray about this? Can we talk together to God ourselves, getting their children that are going astray, to pull them around the table and say, we're going to pray. We're going to talk to God together. But saints don't pray. And when saints don't pray, Satan makes them pray. P-R-E-Y. Satan can't stand it when you and I pray. When we talk in Ephesians chapter 6, we are in a battle. And we're to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. And we take the helmet and the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we have our armor. Wait a minute. How does he end that? In chapter number 6, verse number 18. Praying always. It's not just all this armor. It's prayer. It's our connection to God. Satan doesn't like it when God's people begin to pray. Let me show you an example of this. This shows the whole biblical truth. Keep your finger there in 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 3. In Mark chapter number 3, God gives his disciples a command to go out and to preach the word of God. In Mark chapter number 3, look at verse number 14. Mark chapter 3. Keep your finger in 2 Thessalonians. Mark chapter 3, look with me at verse number 14. Say amen if you're there. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them for to what? To preach. So Jesus is sending the disciples out to preach the word of God. That the word of God would have free course and souls would turn to Jesus. Send them out to preach. Well, look at verse number 15. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out what? devils. He gave them the power to do that. Now go to Mark chapter number 6. Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, look at verse number 7. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits." So he sends them out again to preach two by two, and he gives them power not only to preach, but to have power over the unclean spirits. Look at chapter 6, verse number 13. "And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." It's going pretty well. Look at Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter 9, look with me at verse number 17. Mark 9, 17. Mark 9, verse 17. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Verse 18. "And whosoever he take, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Hey, I have a master, Lord. I have a son. He is possessed by a devil. He's destroying his own body. He can't talk, and he's flailing around. He's in trouble. So I brought him to your disciples, the disciples that you ordained to preach, the disciples who you gave power to cast out devils. And I brought this man under the control of the devil to your disciples, and they could not cast him out. Well, how could that be? God gave them the power. God gave them the power to cast them out. Look at chapter number 9. Look with me at verse number we'll fast forward all the way to verse number 28. Mark 9, verse number 28. The Bible says, And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out? Lord, why couldn't we get power over the devil? Well, we did it before. Why can't we do it now, Lord?" And we didn't want to know privately. We want to know why we did not have the power to cast out the devil and then preach the word. Why didn't the word of God have free course? Verse 29. He said to them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by what? Prayer and fasting." You see, the devil knows that you and I in the flesh are no match against him. And you can have your Bible memorized, and you can go to your Bible studies, and you can read the scriptures. You can preach the word. But the idea of prayer is us connecting to that God. The idea that we're going to God, God overflows with power and authority. God overflows with blessing, and God becomes our source. Therefore, God gets the glory. You say, well, prayers, saints don't do it, and Satan can't stand it. But do we pray? I read a statistic, and it broke my heart. According to Barnes, which is a researcher, Barnes did a survey of the prayer life of American Christians. This is American Christians. Are you ready? The average Christian spends only 1 minute a day in prayer. 1 minute in prayer? I mean, you pray for your food, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Do that three times. It's not a minute. A minute? What is wrong with Christianity today? And then I was a little upset at that, and then the next survey, I got convicted. And the average pastor spends 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I told you the other day, I don't pray for everybody in our church every day. I usually get most of you twice a week. You cannot have a prayer list of over 200 people. But I read that, and I said, 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day. We all say it's a shame. We all say, well, no wonder our churches are in the mess that we're in. You go to church and preach the word of God, and yet there's nobody ever getting saved. The baptism is a storage place full of dust and dry rot because it's not being used. And kids are growing up in this dead, lifeless church, and they're walking out the exit sign never to come back. The mission board is dry and crusty. There's absolutely nothing going on whatsoever. So, well, we have the Bible, we have the doctrine, but we're not seeking God's face, we're not praying. And so Satan ends up getting the victory because God's people will not pray. So saints don't do it, and Satan can't stand it. And so let's get to the heart of the matter and I'll be done. Do you remember Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation? The spirit is willing, indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hey guys, if you don't pray, you're going to be Satan's prey. Remember the Lord said to Luke, to Peter in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that ye may sift you like wheat, as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. It's prayer that's going to stop you from being sifted like wheat. It's prayer that's going to stop you from giving in to temptation. It's prayer that's going to put your family, your marriage back together again. It's prayer that's going to be the lifeline for a Bible-believing church. It's prayer that's going to save those that are lost. It's prayer that's going to save our country. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Hey, you point to the White House all you want, and you point to the Senate, and you point to the House all that you want. Point to our state capitol. It's the problem in the House. No, the problem is not in the White House. It's not in the House of Delegates. The problem is in the House of God. God says, if my people, let the rulers do what they want to do. Let the entertainment do what they want to do. Let education do what they want to do. God says, if my people pray. Amen. So maybe we're the problem. Yeah, I stood in that assembly and I could point to a lot of problems. A lot of problems. But maybe we're the problem. Hey, when one of the delegates said to me, came up to me after, says, do you, said, Pastor Sparks, you have no idea how it's refreshing to sit in this chamber and hear the name Jesus Christ. We've had Muslims in here. We've had non-denominational guys that never mentioned the name of Jesus one time in their prayer. It's so refreshing to hear the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, maybe they're sideways and maybe they're backwards because we're not praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe the problems that we have stem from prayer. Was it not the founding of our country when our founding fathers got together and they're trying to hammer out this new republic? They're trying to figure out how we can make this thing work? And the man who supposedly is a deist, who he was not. You know what a deist is, right? When you hear all of our founding fathers were deists, deist means that they believe in God, but God created everything, he wound it up like a clock, and he let it ride. So God doesn't care about what we do, he created it and just let it fly. And the chief of the deists was supposed to be Benjamin Franklin. But it was Benjamin Franklin that said this. He said, shouldn't we pray? If it's not possible for a sparrow to fall to the ground without the knowledge of our Creator, is it possible for a nation to rise? What's he saying? We need God. Hey, and how about we pray, guys? Can we pray? So the very foundation of this country, there were people that came over to the United States, came over to America for the freedom to practice their religion that was graven in the image of God, to practice their religion based upon the Word of God. They came here so the Word of God would have free course. And they said, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. We need to pray. But saints don't do it. Satan can't stand it. And sin won't allow it. Sin won't allow it. The Bible says in Lamentations, I'll just read it to you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8. Also, this is written by Jeremiah when God's people went astray. He says, also, when I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. Like he shuts my prayer. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 42, he says this, we have transgressed and have rebelled, that hast not pardoned, that hast covered with anger and persecuted us, that hast slain, that hast not pitied. Watch this, verse 44. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Have you ever felt like your prayers didn't pass through? Let's be honest. Do you ever feel like you're just praying and the sky is as brass? You're praying and you're saying words, but absolutely nobody's hearing it. Well, the first step is, well, is there something in me? Is there a problem with me? And let's relate that to marriage. I believe that a husband and wife should talk. Right? That's a good thing. Should talk. Not text each other. Talk to each other. Should talk. But have you ever had a little disagreement where you stop talking for days, Months. I know when Miss Heidi's not, when she's mad at me. It doesn't happen very often. But I know, you've been long enough, have you been married long enough where you know, like, uh-oh. Like sometimes you can feel it. The disapproval, the eyes boring holes in your skull. Like I'm scared to look in her direction. Like I don't even want to just keep driving, don't even look, because she is not happy right now. This is not the time to go, hey babe, what's for dinner? She says, hemlock. I know there's something's not right here in this relationship. So it's not going to function the way that it's not supposed to function. My wife's never done this, but my mom used to do it all the time. I'd come home from school and high school. I'd come home, and there'd be dishes in the sink. Why is there dishes in the sink? Hey, what's for dinner? And I remember my little sister coming out and going, shh, shh, mom's on strike. What does that mean? That means you're doing your own laundry. It means you're cooking your own food. And just kind of avoid her because she'll start swinging. Everybody's scared of this short Sicilian lady. It's on strike. What happened? Something happened. Something broke that relationship. Do you know what breaks our relationship with the Holy God? Our sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Won't. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and he will not hear you. So he said, well, why is it that the sky is as brass? Why are you shutting up my prayers? Lord, you said that saints don't pray. I'm trying to pray. You said that Satan doesn't like it, but I'm trying to pray. Well, maybe the sin is not allowing a holy God to hear a disobedient child. But I have good news. That access can be opened up. Have you ever tried to start a lawnmower? How many of you have ever tried to start a lawnmower? Bless the Lord. That'll get you praying, won't it? I'm talking about the ones you pull. Oh, yeah. Oh, they got to pump it three times, stand on your right foot, pull once, pull twice, pump it again, shake it all about, whatever it is. So try to get this lawnmower started. To pump it, now pull it, and pull it, and pull. I got a blister forming in between my, so I got to switch which fingers I'm holding it with, and I'm pulling, and I'm sweating. The thing is, goo, 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 goo. Here comes Caleb. He's want me to start it? Go for it, son. And now part of me honestly doesn't want it to start. Just so you know, as part of me is like, please don't let that thing start. Because if he pulls it and it starts, I'll be like, I loosened it for you. Do you know, so I'm really meticulous with my stuff. And so at the end of the mowing season, I empty out everything, right? I run everything out. I use a non-ethanol gas. I let the thing run all the way out. I turn the gas spigot off. I get it put away, sharpen everything at the end of the season. I get everything all ready to go, just ready to go. And I'd put fresh fuel in there, but it's not starting. Did you hear me say that I closed the valve? Do you know you could pull on that string all you want to? The only way that lawnmower is going to mow the lawn is you just pull it to a spot, pull the string. Hopefully it spins. Pull the string. That's a rough way to do it, isn't it? You're never going to get it done. All you have to do is just turn the spigot and let the fuel go in, and then it starts. There are people that are trying to live the godly Christian life that God calls us to do, and they're doing it without prayer. You're doing it without the power of God? Well, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And boy, it must be very frustrating for us when we try to live a spiritual life. We try to live a godly life, yet we still have our flesh. We still have the world. We still have our problems. Well, Lord, I know what the Word of God says, and I'm trying with all my might. That's the problem. You're trying it with all your might. Well, it starts with prayer. So you have a family and everything's in place, but it's not running smooth. Maybe the problem is prayer. You have a church. Oh, Pastor Sparks, I hear this quite often. We got all these programs. We got the same programs. It's not about the programs. Yeah, but we're preaching this. It's about the preaching, but it's not about the preaching. Well, we got all these things. We're doing everything. This book says that. Is there any prayer? Prayer. I'm just saying that prayer is the answer. That's what we need to be, a people of prayer. And I want to close with this. Have you ever got a hold of God? Tell you what, prayer, saints don't do it. Satan can't stand it, and sin won't allow it. But have you ever got a hold of the Lord? And I remember as an older teenager, the first time I ever really prayed, I remember it. I remember it as clear as day. I remember being outside at a camp, given some time to pray. I prayed for everything I could think of. 3 minutes later, I'm out of things to pray for. And I remember hearing myself say, God, I don't even know how to talk to you. But you are a good God. And you're a great God, and I should know how to. And then you know what happened? I started talking to the Lord. And I felt and knew that I was in his very presence. And there are believers that have never felt that way. The heavens are shut up. What I'm saying is if you're just saying words all by yourself, of course we don't pray. But if you're in the presence of God and know that you're in the presence of God, and please, I'm not talking about some type of feeling, but I'm talking about you know that you're right with the Lord and you're praying according to his will. What an intimate, wonderful thing it is to pray to our Creator. And the idea that we can boldly go before his throne, that we can come before our God and ask our petitions. We can go before him and praise him for who he is. We can go and pray for your pastor and pray for the Sunday school teachers. We can pray for our president. We can pray for our delegates. We can go and say, Lord God, we're asking you to help us raise our child up. Lord, we're coming to you because our marriage is kind of rocky right now. We're asking you to be the healer and bring our marriage back together again. Talking about prayer, talking to God. That's what we need to be. People, brethren, sisters of prayer, I want to challenge you. Father, I want to thank you so much for the privilege it is to be able to pray to you. Lord, I don't know why we don't spend more time. Again, Lord, I am so burdened. I'm burdened for myself and my own personal prayer life. I'm burdened for our church. I'm not sure why we don't spend more time. Lord, there are saints here that pray for a while, but none of us pray like we should. Father, if it's an area of sin, Lord, would you help us to remember that if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And turn on that free course, turn on that spigot again. I want to thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And I want to ask you for forgiveness for not coming to you more often. You've told us to pray everywhere for everything, and we pray very little. And Lord, as a pastor, I see families that are struggling, and there's no faithfulness in the house of the Lord. There's no prayer. And Father, without that, I don't know how a marriage is strong. I don't know how we raise godly children. If we're not in the house of the Lord and we're not before you in prayer. Father, our country needs us to be people of prayer. A lost and dying world needs us to be people of prayer. And Father, just being your saint, we should desire to talk to you. Would you forgive us for the sin of prayerlessness? With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask you this. Is there someone here today that if you were to die today, you're not sure that you'd go to heaven? If you're not sure of your salvation, would you honestly right now at this moment, with no one looking around, would you slip up your hand right now and say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. Would you honestly slip up your hand if that's you? All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I'm just honestly not sure. Please pray for me. Anybody else? All right, in a moment I'm going to pray for you. I'd love to open up the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven if you'd let us do that. Christian, how many would say, you know what, Pastor, I need to be more prayerful in my life? Would you honestly raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we start an old-fashioned altar praying right even at this time? Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed, every eye closed? Father, I pray for these that raise their hand and aren't sure of their salvation. I pray that they be saved today. For those of us that are saved, help us to be people of prayer. Father, everything might be right in our lives, but help us to come pray for our country. Help us to come pray for our state. Help us to come pray for our church, for our family, for our children, for our grandchildren. Help us to be people of prayer.